الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجلين بهم الرضا ومن أرضائهم نتبرع بالله اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضاه وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The topic was the qualities of the Shias that have been mentioned in that hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and we came to this point and was mentioned that jealousy is among those negative qualities or the demerits that should not be existing and must not be possessed by the Mu'mineen. And we came to this point of jinxing, chishm or nazar lagjana, and so on and so forth. There were loads of questions yesterday after the lecture about this jinxing topic. Just to give some more explanation on it, there are many ulama who do accept this, and that is this evil eye or this shadow of the negative that can be that a person can hurt. If you look into Quran, the Almighty, He says regarding the sons of Prophet Ya'qub, that is, قال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. The instructions given by Prophet Ya'qub, that is, after that duration of time, which was about 40 years. And then when Prophet Ya'qub sends his sons to Egypt, and there the instructions that were given to his 10 sons were that you don't enter that palace of the ruler of Egypt, that is Hazrat Yusuf, from one door. Now, brothers of Prophet Yusuf, in beauty, after all, they are the brothers of Yusuf. They were smart, they were handsome, they were good-looking. So Prophet Ya'qub instructs them that you don't enter that place from one door, so that you don't get jinxed on these beautiful brothers. 10 of them in one, they all enter in one go. So instructions are, you can enter that place from different doors, so that people, they don't find out that you are all brothers. The other thing is that you've got all these different ornaments, or sometimes you get these little stones with an eye drawn on it. Now all that is irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything, and we can do nothing. But regarding the du'as that we have for this issue, there are a lot. Ayat in Quran again is that 51st ayah from the chapter 68. If you get time, look into the tafasir, ulama, they have, many of the mufassirin do talk about this subject. And when inquired as istifta from Maraji Taqlid, they too have mentioned this issue. And in one of these istifta, the du'as that we have, our sixth imam, he says that whenever you see someone and you find that you've got a bad eye, you may be able to hurt him with that sight and vision of yours. Immediately says, Tabarakallah ahsanul khaliqin, that Allah has made all this and who is the best of creator. So that way you can avoid hurting that person with your sights, for example. Or elsewhere, the Prophet says that when you find such situations, or when one of the wives of Rasulullah comes and says that this is the scenario, when I see the sons of Ja'far, I get jealous, and many a times I feel that I may hurt them with the sight that I have. Rasulullah teaches them a dua and says that, recite that. All of the duas that we have in Mufatihul Janan and elsewhere says, MashaAllahu la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim, are among those duas that can help protect from that evil eye. Or, for example, the recitation of Surah Falaq, Surah An-Nas, etc. In one of these istiftaat that were inquired by from Marhum Ayatullah Ibn Bahjat, he also, in reply, gives some tips to avoid being hurt and hit from these evil eyes. First of all, he says that have a little small Quran with you in your pocket. That will be a protection. Then says, recite Mu'abbazatayn, that is Falaq and Nas a lot. Or when you find that you are in danger, someone is about to hurt and hit you, says recite that. Plus, recite Ayatul Kursi, and then says recite these four, the four pulls. And then Tawheed, Kafirun, Falaq, Nas. And then says that one more tip that helps you be protected from that is by reciting 50 ayat of Quran every day. That is again the teachings that we have from the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Coming back to our topic, and that is the qualities of Shias that are mentioned in this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, reported from Nawf Bakkali, when Imam, he lists the qualities of Shias, and it was mentioned repeatedly that it is not the general, normal Shia that are being mentioned over here. It's that elite class, high class Mu'mineen that Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about. The general Mu'mineen are who stick to the basic fundamentals and beliefs in Iman, and that's it. They are happy with what they have learned. If you see Quran, the ayat that we have over here, they say that لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنَا عَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, that Allah, He seconds all of these prophets with one mission. What is that mission? أَنَا عَبُدُ اللَّهِ, that you have to worship Allah. Worship in all aspects. It includes servitude, it includes the special worship, which is prayers, fasts, hajj, etc. And everything else. And then says, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, from the طَاغُوتِ, from the arrogant, you have to distance, you have to keep away. So, the least of what the majority of the mu'mineen perform, and that too, just to have performed their duty, is this salah. That every one of us is duty-bound to offering these prayers, every one of us does. But the prayers we offer, most of us, the majority of mu'mineen, it is just to fulfill the duty. That is, by offering these prayers, Allah, He doesn't question us on the Day of Judgment as to why you did not pray. So we will not be questioned as to why we did not pray. We did. But these prayers of ours, did they help us in perfecting ourselves? Did they help us in attaining that eternal prosperity or not? That is a question we have to ask ourselves. So there are some special circumstances that Quran mentions and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and the most essential quality that we find in this worship, in this servitude, which is Salat, says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. It's the first ayah of Surah Al-Mu'minun. That is, Mu'minun, they are those, prosperous are those Mu'minun, successful are those Mu'mineen, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are frightful, fearful in their prayers. The translations you find in the Quran, they translate it as humble in their prayers. But in the reality, khushu means fear, means fright. That a person, when he stands in worship before Allah, he is frightful, he is fearful, he is scared. Now you've heard this term a lot, khuzu and khushu. So what is the difference in the two? Khuzu means, that is one of the most important terms that have been mentioned a lot in our terminology, and that is every mu'min who wants to arrive at those higher ranks, that is ranks of spirituality, morality, he has to possess them. Some think that khuzu and khushu, they are those physical appearances of a person who is offering his prayers. For example, when we stand for worship, we find that we say the Takbiratul Ihram properly, recitation is also good, and while we stand, focus is towards that place of sajda. When we are in ruku, focus is between the two legs, and when we are in ruku, that neck also is lengthened or is straightened so much, as the riwayat say, that you bow down in the presence of your Creator. If He wishes to behead you, let Him behead, because we are in His possession, total submission to Him. So all these postures have been observed. Sajda also was good. So this physical appearance of namaz in this, with this requirement that was mentioned, this is known as khuzu. Khushu is something else. Khushu means that fear and fright which a person possesses in his heart, in his soul. So that physical appearance was good, all that was observed. In his heart, he has to have that shaking, that tremor, that fear that he is standing before the Lord of the world. Creation, all of it has come into existence with His command, and He who is nothing is standing before Him. So that is khushu. And many a times you find that this khushu, as a result of that fear, a person sheds tears, cries in his prayers. Sometimes there is a lot of shaking in the prayers. That is again as a result of that khushu, that is from that batin of an individual. Khuzu is that physical appearance that a person has to observe, that fear and fright in his looks. Khushu is that inner. Again, Quran says, that is it not time that those who have embraced is Iman, those who are among the mu'mineen, that they should be fearful, they should be frightful, especially their hearts. How? That is with the remembrance of Allah. And all this again, a lesson to me first. Quran says that if this Quran was to be revealed on a mountain, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشًا مُتَصَدَّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, now mountain is a creation, is an existence which doesn't have that understanding, that intellect. Says, if this Quran was revealed on that mountain, you would find that that mountain would have shattered, would have broken into pieces because of that fright of fear of Allah. Says, how come all of these ayat are recited to an individual, to the human being, yet nothing happens to him, especially when it comes to the time of prayers? So prayers, it's one of those most important duties that we have to take good care of. Now how do we enhance this fear in us? That is another issue that we have to look into. Many a times when the ayats of the hell, or when the hell is pictured before us, we are scared, we are fearful that what is going to happen. Or when, for example, Shaheed and Zafir of the hell is mentioned, that is like we inhale and like we exhale, like we breathe in and breathe out. Riwayat, they say that Jahannam also breathes in and breathes out. And when Jahannam breathes out, whatever comes in its way, it just burns and melts from the heat of that breathing out of that Jahannam. Or in that hadith, the Prophet, he says, and Jibreel, he reveals to the Prophet that if just a blaze of the hellfire, which is half a meter long, if that is placed on this planet Earth, this entire Earth would melt due to the heat of that blaze of the fire. So by mentioning these issues, we get scared, we are frightened. But how come when we stand in worship before Allah, that fear does not exist? Or for example says that وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That is again, Allah says that when you look into these stones, stones also, many a times you find that these stones, they break open, they crack, and water flows out of these stones. Rivers flow out of these stones and mountains, which are dead rock hard. Says, how come our hearts, they don't break? So when Allah says that our hearts, why don't they break? It seems that the hearts that we possess are breakable hearts. So if we do something, educate our hearts in a way that they break and they cry due to the fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So what are the reasons or the elements that help us in enhancing this khushu in ourselves is something that we have to look into ourselves. One of the things that we have is by reminding ourselves about the punishments, the wrath, the accountability that is going to be taken, that will happen for us in the hereafter. Punishments that are waiting for us. And among those punishments is that one of the severe and the most severe punishments, which Amir al-Mu'mineen also talks about it in Najib, in Dua Kumayn, which we will recite over here. Imam says, لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Quran says that on the Day of Judgment, there will be certain people, a group of people, who will be assigned with this punishment, and that is going to be the most severe punishment. And that is, Allah, He will not look at them at all. Look at them. That is, Allah not looking at these individuals. It means that there is no hope of attaining mercy from them onwards. It is like a mother who is upset with her child. She doesn't beat him. She doesn't scold him. Doesn't turn him off. She says to that child that I am not going to speak to you. Or if a friend breaks from another friend at that early childhood, you find that how hurt he is. Now this child runs after the mother, Mom, forgive me, look at me, look at me. Is ready to give away whatever he has, all his good toys, all his good clothes to his friends, just to gain back that kind look of the mother, to gain back that kind look of the friend. Says Allah, the most severe punishment is that Allah, He will not look at them. لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم. He will not look at them يوم القيامة, on the Day of Judgment. Now these are those people for whom the salvation, the doors of salvation, they are all shut and closed. So khushu, it has to be enhanced. Now how do we enhance it? There is another report from the Holy Prophet, Zainab al-Attara. She reports this hadith. She, once in a month, she comes to Rasulullah to sell the best of fragrances to the Prophet. She once says that, Ya Rasulullah, how do I perceive the existence of Allah? In reply, he says that that is impossible. You cannot perceive the greatness of Allah. No one can. Says, but you can try and perceive the greatness of His creation. And then Rasulullah says, this entire creation that you see, that is this world with the skies, whatever is present in this earth, says this earth compared to the next sky is no more than a rain that has been thrown into a never-ending desert. So what minuteness that rain has and what greatness that desert has. And says that this entire creation compared to the second, again compared to the third, and when you compare all of these great creations of Allah, all the seven skies, compare that to this earth, says it's not even a dot in this entire creation of Allah. Says that is the great greatness of His creation. Now when the greatness of the creation is as such, then how will the greatness of the Creator be? A person can never think of it. And then says, assume yourself in this massive creation of Allah, which again is nothing. Now having these things in mind, before your prayers, if you stand in worship, you will find that a better service will be performed by this individual. That we first of all assume and come to know what our minuteness is, how weak we are, how small we are, how anonymous we are, how nothing we are. And only then when we stand and worship before Allah, can a better service be performed. So with this, we come to this point that not every prayer is prayer. There are millions and billions of prayers that are offered every day. So are all of them prayers? We've got some of them as real prayers, which are just a few. It's like these ornaments, jewelry you have. You've got jewelry which is really very expensive, maybe $1,000 for a bracelet. But those who cannot afford it, they go to Claire's. You get 2 cents for $1. Most of the prayers that are offered are the prayers that are offered by Claire's, made in Claire's, with a special offer. So we have to be careful that these prayers that we are offering shouldn't be from Claire's. How is that possible? How can and what should be done to create a prayer which is valuable? The components that we have in every salah, in every prayer. First of all, we have Takbiratul Ihram. Then we've got this recitation of the two surahs. We've got ruku in it. Two sajdas. Tashahud. So all these are the elements, the essentials of prayer. All of them are divine. That is, Allah has made them. Allah has instructed us to offer our prayers as such. That is, if these elements of prayers, if we build them properly, like a jigsaw puzzle that is placed before us, if we put all these components together and this prayer is offered in a good way, that prayer will attract the mercy of Allah. And if these components are not put together properly, although they are divine, although they have been sent by Allah, but the creator of the prayer here is me, myself. You have to create that prayers, we have to create these prayers. If we put these puzzles or these elements properly, it will definitely attract the mercy of Allah. The reason why our prayers, they don't ascend and they don't attract the mercy, is because we don't put these elements and components together properly. So something is lacking in us. Either it's that niyat, or that recitation, or the time that we are in a rush, we just want to do that duty, or we don't say what we have to say properly, or that khushu is lacking, khuzu is lacking. So all these are things that are lacking in one's prayers. Quran says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. وَيْل means won't be upon those who offer their prayers. So although they are offering their prayers, but Allah says, because the prayers are so bad, that deserves to be said, woe be upon those who offer these prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَعُونَ. Neglectful in their prayers. هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَعُونَ. Who are neglectful in their prayers. In one of these visions that we're seeing, it says that I saw a human being that has been created with horns on his head. Now the person who sees this vision, that Quran says that Allahi ahsana kulli shay'in khalqa, that Allah, He creates everything in the best form, fi ahsani taqwim. How come He's created this human being in this detestable way with horns on his head? Says that human being wasn't created by Allah with horns. It's the prayers of ours which are resembled in that way. We have Ahadith al-Qudsi here which say that someone who offers his prayers without the presence of his mind, without the presence of his heart, does he not fear that Allah will change his face into a donkey's? That is, we are standing in worship before Allah with our moods and manners wandering everywhere. A person deserves to be changed into a donkey, as mentioned in that Hadith of Qudsi. So this surah, ruku, sujood, tashahud, the number of raka'at, all of those have to be observed. We have to put all of these components together. And if we do that properly, that mercy of Allah will be attracted by this prayer of ours. Quran says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That is, a generation came after them. A nation came, a number of people came after them. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ, who lost their prayers. That is, prayer was stopped to them. But they just took no heed of it. Took no care of those prayers. They were lost. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. And all these lusts and temptations were followed by them, and for them is a painful punishment. So although we are offering our prayers, but these prayers that we offer, they need to be corrected. They have to be corrected. A time would come that it would be too late and we cannot mend and correct them. Quran says, regarding the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, وَلَا يَأْتُونَ السَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَةً. That is, they offer prayers, but they are tired, neglectful. They are standing in worship, but they are not with the existence of Allah. They are not connected. That is, someone who stands in worship before Allah, talks to Allah, but his heart and soul is not there, says it is like a hypocrite. Someone who is saying something, has no faith and does not believe in it. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that is, successful are the believers, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who are frightful in their prayers, is the first quality that has been mentioned in this ayah of Quran. Now this was just a brief look of what we have in riwayat and ayah about the prayers. Now let's see, in our day-to-day life, the best of prayers that were performed by some of the best of servants of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these are just these exclusive prayers that attract the mercy of Allah. Among them is our own Kashi, one of the great ulama of Isfahan. Now the student who was living over there in that madrasa, he says that one morning I got up to say my night prayers. And when I come to perform the wuzu, I see that everything in that madrasa, in that school, is saying Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikatu. Everything. The leaves, the doors, the bricks, the walls, the floor, everything as if in a chorus they are reciting Subbuhun Quddusun, that his glory belongs to Allah. Rabbul Malaikatu Ruh, the Lord of the angels and the spirits. He says that I was just amazed to hear that chorus from everywhere, and then says I started following from where that voice is originating from. He says I come to a room and there I see this Shaykh in Sajda and saying Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikatu Ruh, as a result of which that entire creation was reciting with him. That is not just one of. Whenever he stood for prayers before Allah, that is how he offered his prayers. Or for example, if you look into Ayatullah Hafiz Maqbool Jaldin, among the great Maraji' Taqleeb of 1950s. Now he was the whole soul Maraji' Taqleeb. The entire planet, all the Shias were in his Taqleeb. There wasn't any second Maraji' at that time. So India, Iran, the Arabian Peninsula, everyone was in his Taqleeb. He, at that age of 90 plus, offers his prayers in the Haram of Hazrat Masood. And the day when he couldn't go to say his prayers, his caretaker, he says that he shuts the door of his room for an hour or so, and then he opens, and when the door is open, he is just in tears. And his clothes, they are all soaked wet. That Zuhrayn, the two prayers, they took so long, and he offers his prayers as such. People, they used to come and say that, and tell him that at this old age, it is you should reduce a little bit and cut down on this time you are spending in worship. He says, we haven't got anything. We can't even count on these prayers and this worship of ours. Or for example, Ayatullah was Mark Bahjah, his son says that 12 hours of his daily schedule was spent in worship. So they wanted their father to have a little rest. His son says that on and off I used to tell him that cut down from this worship. And if I say that, he will never listen to me. I used to tell him that it's studies, your students, you need to study as well so that you are prepared for your lectures. He says, if I cut down from this worship, that study also would not be possible for me. That is, when I continue with this worship of mine, studies, the time I need to spend to understand and to learn, is reduced by 4/5. That is, 20 minutes. If I study, I can understand much more with this worship that I have. So we have to try and do something that these prayers that we offer, they are correct. They are corrected so that we also try and attract the mercy of Allah. One of the tips that the ulama, they give us, they say that out of these five prayers that we have, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, invest a lot more on one of these prayers, whichever is convenient for you. Normally, the Fajr, it's the most convenient. If you spend 3 minutes to say your Fajr prayers, now increase that time to 5 minutes, to 6 minutes. Now, how do you increase it? Try and perform one of these prayers in a perfect and a complete way. That is, you say that takbir, first of all, recite that azan, iqamat, and before you start your prayers, have those 7 takbirat and the 7th will be the opening of your prayer. And when you recite the surahs, recite them slowly, properly, so that you understand what you are saying. When you go to ruku, have perfect ruku, not subhanallah, 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 this subhanallah, rabbi al-azim wa bihamdi, and repeat it if you can 7 times. After that, a salawat. Again, the same thing, stand up in sajda, repeat the zikr of that sajda 7 times, the second sajda again 7 times, the second rak'ah again, repeat all of these azkar 7 times and in full and with a salawat. That way, you've invested, instead of 3 minutes, 7 minutes in your prayer. Now, it may so happen that if you start applying this program to your prayers, on and off, you will forget. And instead of reciting those 7, you will go back to your original default settings, and that is those 3 short subhanallahs. So if that happens and you are reminded in your prayer, make it up in your second rak'at. That is, if you were in your second ruku and you were reminded that you missed those 7, over here increase the dose to 14. Or if you were reminded in the last sajda that that was your program and you couldn't do anything of it, so recite those 7 times 6. Subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamdih, which will be 42. In your last sajda, so that you've made up your program. So slowly, gradually, that is possible. So if we invest a little bit on one of the prayers, if it is Fajr which you can invest, if it's Maghrib, whichever prayer, because every person is different. Some people enjoy the morning prayers, some people enjoy the Maghrib prayers, some enjoy the Zuhrain. Whichever you enjoy, try to invest a little bit more, and after a while you will start enjoying these prayers. And again, riwayat, they say that if the richest in this world, they ever knew what joy is hidden in this salah, in this prayer, they would leave behind everything which they possess and come and sit on the prayer mat with these prayers. This is a reality, that is a fact. And we have to take good care of these prayers of ours. Otherwise, the first thing that on the Day of Judgment that we will be questioned is about prayers. Says that in qubilat ma siwaha wa in ruddat ma siwaha, that if these prayers are accepted on the Day of Judgment, everything else will be accepted. If, God forbid, if these prayers were denied, were thrown onto our faces, every other good which we have had done in this dunya, all of that will be thrown onto our face. Riwayat, they say that some of these prayers, that is, with these components that were given to you and you built them, some of these prayers, they elevate and they ascend a little bit to the skies. Say some of these prayers ascend to the first sky and then drop down. Some of these prayers are so swift, they ascend right up to the seventh heaven, seventh sky, and they reach the throne and the arsh of Allah. So our target has to be that arsh, that our prayers have to reach there. And they can reach by practice. By practice a person succeeds. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in protecting these prayers, this great gem that He has given to us, and that again it's for our own success, for our own perfection, for our own spirituality. May Allah reduce the distance between us and Him in this sacred month of Ramadan. Give us the opportunity to be better servants of His, better people of His, those who seek martyrdom in His service. On this night of the Imam of Time, we ask Allah to hasten in the reappearance of our Master, our Hujjah, and count and enlist us among the best of His servants. اللهم أرنا التبعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل ناظري نظرة مني إليه وعجل فرجه بصحة مخرجه.
الله